I invite you to stand now for the hearing of our gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Luke, reading from the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, the judge refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. A holy and loving God, we thank you for this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. And we thank you for the gift of your word. And we thank you as well, God, for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O God, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. For the last several weeks, as I thought about this Sunday and our staff appreciation day, the words from Psalm 100 kept coming to me. "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his courts with thanksgiving." Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his courts with thanksgiving. Today is our opportunity to thank God for our paid staff, for all of those who work on your behalf so that we might be involved in ministry. But even as I thought about that, about our paid staff, I began to think about all the folks who volunteer here, all of those who give of their best self to God day in and day out, all of those who work here to serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm grateful. I have gratitude for your faithfulness, for your wisdom and your insights, for your persistence and your patience. And I come daily before the Lord in thanksgiving for the ministry that has been entrusted to all of us together. As I started to think not only about our paid staff and our volunteers, I had a mental list of all those who are involved in serving the Lord with gladness. Just think about our worship service this morning. What would be missing if we didn't have those people who volunteered or people who were on our staff? We would have no music. We'd have no choir. We'd have no acolytes. We'd have no ushers. We'd have no one in the sound system. We wouldn't have probably the heat and the light on, for there are folks who behind the scene work diligently day in and day out so that we might all serve the Lord with gladness. And not only on Sunday morning, but think about all the folks who are here during the week, our paid staff in the office, our volunteers who be sure that our mailings get out on time. Think about those folks who work with our children. Think about all those who give of their time and their best self so that together we can be in ministry. It's not about any one person. It's about us being together so that we might serve the Lord. That we might serve the Lord with gladness. With gladness. Now, gladness and joy go hand in hand. But that doesn't mean that there aren't days that our staff and our volunteers don't grumble. It doesn't mean that there aren't days that they suffer or they're challenged. There's probably days that they wonder why it is that they do what they do day in and day out. But there's a sense of gladness and there's a spirit of joy, even on those days that are disappointing, even on those days that are tiresome, they continue to serve the Lord with gladness. And how can they do that? How can they do that? How can they, in the midst of frustration and challenges, continue to serve our Lord with gladness? The Old Testament reading that Jean read for us this morning is the prophet Jeremiah, again telling the exiles to have hope. To have hope. For surely there will come a day, it may not be today, but surely there will come a day when God will write his law on your hearts. It won't be like those stone tablets that are easily broken and easily forgotten, but God will write his law on your heart. The Old Testament, the Hebrew word for law, really means the way. It actually means the finger-pointing way. It's to direct you. It's to show you how to go. It's to show you how to live. And Jeremiah is saying, instead of that heavy burden, instead of that heavy yoke on you, the law will be inside of you, and it will be embodied in you, and all that you do will show the heart of God to others. That's enthusiasm. Enthusiasm literally means to have God inside you. That gift of God's law written on our hearts gives us the enthusiasm to continue to serve the Lord with gladness and to come into his presence with thanksgiving. I wonder sometimes when there isn't joy, when there isn't that sense of enthusiasm, if we might need to take a step back and re-examine what we do. And sometimes I don't just mean that we've had a bad day, but sometimes we actually grumble in church. Can you imagine that? We grumble in church about jobs we have, tasks we have to do, and it becomes more of an obligation than a joy. More than an obligation than a joy. We are reminded to serve the Lord with gladness. And we need to sometimes ask ourselves seriously, all of us, am I grateful for the opportunity that's been given me to serve God? Am I thankful for the gifts that God has entrusted me that I can share with this congregation so that we can be in ministry together? Do I serve with gratitude or do I serve with resentment? And I'm not just speaking about our staff here, I'm speaking about all of us. Do we serve with gratitude or do we serve with resentment? Which begs the question, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? If it's for our glory and not God's, then there's an issue. Why do we do what we do? With God's word written on our hearts, with God's law in our hearts, our behavior and our actions should reflect that love that God has written on our hearts. All of our behavior, all of our actions should show the world God's way, God's love, and God's grace. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his courts with thanksgiving, showing the world the heart of God. The New Testament parable for this morning is unique to Luke. It's another one of those odd stories that Luke tells us, and we're trying to figure out our place in that. There's memorable characters in there. There's the persistent widow who just will not give up. And then there's the unjust judge who finally just gives in because he's tired of being nagged. Now, really what's important in this parable is not so much those two characters as it is what Jesus says before the parable. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Their need to pray always and not lose heart. The parable is an illustration of that. The parable is an illustration of how to pray and not lose heart. Right before Jesus tells this parable and says that to the crowds, he has told them about the end times and what will happen at the last day. And what he says they need to do is that they need to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart. I think sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we give up too quickly. Tom Long, United Methodist theologian, says that the problem beneath all of our problems with prayer is the very problem Jesus appears to be addressing here. We simply lose heart. If we really believe in the power of prayer, if we really believe that prayer can affect world peace, if we were truly convinced that prayer changes things, changes us, heals broken lives, and restores severed relationships, then we would be praying constantly. You couldn't keep us from praying. But isn't the problem with prayer the one that Jesus addresses here? We lose heart. We lack persistence. To serve the Lord with gladness and come into his courts with thanksgiving means to be a praying people and to be persistent in prayer. An article in Christian Century says this about losing heart. What does it mean to lose heart? The words that come to my mind include weariness, resignation, numbness, and despair. When I lose heart, I lose my sense of focus and direction. My spiritual GPS goes haywire. The world turns a murky gray and all roads lead nowhere. The article goes on to say, what happens when we pray? What is prayer for? I can only speak from experience, but I know that when I persist in prayer, really persist with a full heart, over a long period of time, something happens to me. My sense of who I am, to whom I belong, what really matters in this life, and why, these things mature and solidify. My heart grows stronger. It becomes less fragile and flighty. Once in a while, it even soars. And sometimes, here's a surprise, these good things happen even when I don't receive the answer I'm praying for. Not that unanswered prayer doesn't take a toll. It hurts and it baffles. It can break our hearts. But maybe that's the point of the parable too. The work of prayer is hard. The widow's predicament is not straightforward. She has to make a costly choice every single day. Will I keep asking? Dare I risk humiliation one more time? Do I still believe that my request is worthy of articulation? Can I be patient? Am I still capable of trusting in the possibility of justice? Jesus says, be persistent in prayer so that you do not lose heart. Not losing heart, being persistent in prayer, keeps us faithful to God, gives us the ability to serve the Lord with gladness, to show others God's heart, to not so that we don't lose heart. Those are words for all of us to live by, our paid staff, our volunteers, our faithful disciples, all those who love the Lord. We are all called to serve the Lord with gladness and to come into God's courts with thanksgiving. Hear these words that Paul says to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the good news from the first day until now. Praying constantly in thanksgiving for all those who share the good news, our staff, our volunteers, our people that worship with us, the people whose lives we touch. May we be the people that always take the opportunity in prayer to thank God for all those who serve the Lord with gladness. Amen.